Good morning. This is IDK Politics on Friday, the 8th of March, and I'd like to welcome you all. So to begin with, happy International Women's Day to everyone, and happy Referendum Day to all our Irish voters. Exciting day for everyone, as it is both International Women's Day and the first time most college students and most young people will have a chance to vote and participate in the right to vote. So it's really exciting day for everyone. So I just like everyone to get excited and pumped up for this lovely, exciting Friday. I know everyone is absolutely sick and tired of probably hearing about this referendum, but just remember today is the last day you'll be seeing it probably until the results come out. So before, I don't want to drag on about it because everyone has been on about it and I've been on about it in the show for the last like 8 weeks. So I just want to run through a few of the notes I have up on Instagram, a few pointers and key notes for you before you go voting today at your polling station. So why are you voting? To start with, the government must hold a constitutional referendum if it wishes to change something in the Irish constitution. There's two types of referendum, constitutional and ordinary. Today's referendum is a constitutional referendum because they want to change a part of Article 41 of the Irish Constitution. You should have gotten your polling card in the post due to the fact that you have registered to vote. And now what you need to do is go to your polling station today and vote. May I remind everyone, because I have noticed not everyone knows this, is you need a form of ID when you go polling, because your polling card is not a valid form of ID. So before you go voting today, make sure you have your passport or your driving license or a workplace identification card, even a student identification card, as long as there is a picture on it, like a photograph of you. You can have a public service card or a bank or credit union account card, as long as it has your name and address of your constituency. So remember to bring that to your polling station today as you vote, because I think you would have seen from everyone, voting is really important, and it is, so don't waste your right to vote. So that's all I'm going to say about the referendum. So don't forget ID when you're going to your polling station today. So let's get into this. It's been a busy enough week in politics, so I just want to talk through a few things. And as is International Women's Day, I hope to go through a few special things for International Women's Day. But let's kick into the week in politics to start with. But before we do that, I want to play a song. This song I have been obsessed with all week. It's a really cool song. My friend, and as you all know, and you've all known her because she's been on the show for the last few weeks, Dervla, she is iconic when it comes to music and has added this one to the radio show playlist. So this is King by Florence and the Machines. And welcome back. I am so sorry if you're hearing a few technical glitches. We have a bit of issue with the tech this morning, but that's all good because we're still here. And so let's get into the politics. I'm a bit behind, so we're going to do a quick run through today, and I'll put more stuff on the Instagram later if I have more sources for you. So this Sunday, it's really interesting because I think at the start of the year, I spoke about how it's the year of elections. But I think I did not know it's actually the Portuguese election, general election too this year, as they have a snap election due to their prime minister stepping down. So in Portugal, it's really interesting about their political dynamic, because I don't know if most people remember, but back in 08 when we had the financial crash, Portugal was also a country really hit by the crash. So their political dynamics had a major shift due to financial and economic reasons. So it's really interesting to see how the political parties manage that. So at the moment, their socialist party Prime Minister of 3 terms has resigned due to budget issue and party divide, along with potential criminal allegations. So now it's opened a new wave of political dynamics in Portugal. So at the moment, it is centre-left versus centre-right. They're the two sides kind of battling out for government majority this Sunday. Since reading an article from one of the members of the centre-left parties, she claims that if centre-right get into Portugal, it'll be a reverse of all social advances, and a return to moral, theoretical, and political bankruptcy. My apologies. So this snap election, I said, is due to the collapse of the dynamics of the Socialist Party. And the right wing, which has been growing quite strong in Portugal and has the potential to win the majority, has extreme views such as turning over the abortion laws and other major ones on economics and defence. So it will be interesting to see how the outcome of this election will go due to such a divide in the country and due to such a long-lasting power of the centre-left parties in Portugal. Next on the agenda today is Sweden. Sweden was finally signed in as a member of NATO. During the week, it was, as they've noted, I've seen in all the articles, it's quoted, victory for freedom. It's really interesting because Sweden actually hasn't been aligned or allied, if most people understand that. It's the sense that it hasn't been connected to other countries in a like a defense way since the 19th century. That is incredible. So that's the 1800s. So Sweden has now officially become the 32nd member of NATO and is guaranteed under Article 5 protection from the allies of NATO in for freedom, defence and security. Sweden and Finland have now joined NATO recently due to the threat of Russia. And it is a good step in the right direction. But it is interesting to see how long it took Sweden to come into power due to conflicts with Hungarian and Turkish political dynamics. Hungary was the last one to allow Sweden into the NATO, even though it claimed it wouldn't be the last one to hold up the party. So next, and I'm pretty sure if anyone tuned into Paul Talk, because if you're listening to IDK Politics, you gotta listen to Paul Talk. Paul Talk is the GovPol radio show during the week, which I was on with their host Alice. And it was Wednesday, so it was just after Super Tuesday. So, you know, I was very much into the American politics. But I'm just going to do a quick run through today because go back and listen to Paul Talk if you want the breakdown of which caucuses and primary results are, or Google them. But Nikki Haley has now finally dropped out of the Republican nominee race after only winning one of the 15 caucuses held by the Republican Party on Super Tuesday. She won Vermont, which only has a delegation of 17, compared to Texas and California, which have a delegation of 161 and 169, respectively. So you can see how Nikki would have pulled out after that, because it was not a good sign on her race. And many of her financial advisors were telling her to, because she had no funds left. So on Super Tuesday, which was last Tuesday, 865 of the 2,429 delegates were given out for the Republican Party. Biden won all his seats except the territory of Sonoma, which was actually won by a local candidate, but Biden has won most and nearly all primary and caucus seats for the Democratic Party. So he has now become the go-to nominee of the Democrat Party. Now Trump has become the go-to nominee for the Republican Party, but it will not be announced till July if he actually is. But from the numbers and from the facts and figures, Trump will be the Republican nominee for the presidential election. It is really interesting to see how the rest of the caucuses play out, as he is the only candidate. And we will, 71% of the delegates will be given out by the end of the month. So it'll just be interesting to see, not on the Republican side, but the Democrat side, because there's been major protests against Biden during the week, especially at Super Tuesday. Most of the polling centres had huge protests against Biden's take on Gaza. So if you want to keep an eye on the presidential election in America, though we know it's near enough set in stone that it will be Biden versus Trump, it's the American reaction to Biden, which will be the interesting take for the rest of the election. So last night, we did have an interesting thing happen in the US, which is kind of election-y, but kind of just more general America. Last night was the State of the Union in the US. The State of the Union is that one time a year where the president speaks to Congress. It is actually in the US Constitution that the president shall from time to time give the Congress information of the State of the Union and recommend to their consideration such measures that he shall judge necessary and expedient. It is a really important speech given by every president, every sitting president, and really tells what the president is feeling about how Congress is doing and how he thinks the his nation is doing. Last night, as you'd expect, most of Biden's speech was either talking about Gaza, Israel issue, or his re-election against Trump. It was a 68-minute address to Congress, and he drew sharp contrasts with his Republican rival and Trump, and gamely challenged Trump's supporters in the chamber. Last night was being watched by many people, not just because it was a State of the Union, but people were trying to find good allegations that Biden is too old to run for president. But it was really, really, I haven't watched it yet, but I am reading the highlights of it. And it was a good speech. He spoke well. But it will be interesting because the Republican Party always release something afterwards challenging the Democratic State of the Union, as it is Biden. If it was the Republicans in party, the Democrats would do it. It's actually the youngest senator. It's a woman, she's a senator, and she is going to deliver the rebuttal against Biden's State of the Union. So it will be interesting to see how she goes against his remarks on Trump, his remarks on the immigration crisis, the remarks on Israel-Gaza. It is interesting. I'd recommend anyone to watch snippets of it just to see, because it is interesting to watch the dynamics of the chamber and to see how American politics works in real life. Because Congress is quite different to presidency, because Congress have most of the power. Though many people think it's the president, Congress actually are the ones who vote on bills and stuff. So see the dynamics of the Democrats and Biden, because he is supposed to be running as presidential nominee for the party. It was kind of relieving because he did get a very warm welcome. So aside from American politics, we had Super Tuesday, one of the biggest days of the American presidential election days. And we had State of the Union, huge week in US politics. So if anyone wants a recap, I would recommend either going onto the RTE because it has really good sources, or The Guardian because they sum it up nice and easy and very easy to understand and you aren't reading for hours. During the week again, I think people have forgotten about this, but the farmers' protests have been renewed again. If you live in Cork, or if you don't, you'll have seen the protests in Cork, but also all across Europe, farmers are protesting against the EU, against the Green Deal plan on customs duties and climate change. This week has been a bit intense with the renewed protests by the farmers. The Czechia, in Czechia, in Prague, the farmers threw manure all across the streets and in front of government buildings and like blocked up the highway for many hours, per usual, as we've seen all across Europe. But in Poland, it got very extreme with tire burning and firecrackers being set off in Wrocław and other major Polish cities in a very, very intense protest against the Green Deal. It is interesting to see how extreme these protests are getting, as it's like the first ones we've seen against the EU this strong and that has gained this much media coverage. And it's a collective protest all across Europe. So potentially will we be seeing these uses of green, like these renewed protests being very influential on the next election, especially on terms of climate, on how European political parties are going to go. I have a few more notes on Europe. It's a very Europe-heavy week. Viktor Orban, actually, to go back to US and EU, oh my God, crossover. Viktor Orban, the Prime Minister of Hungary, visited Trump in Florida this week. A very interesting meeting, I must say, when I was reading it. Viktor Orban had visited the US for a think tank with some right-leaning groups. He had not been invited to the White House, though he is a member of NATO. But Viktor Orban met with Trump. It is seen that they were talking about Russia and China. People believe that Trump would be inquiring on how to befriend China and Russia, but people are also saying instead of that, he was trying to take notes on how to take down NATO. So it's very interesting what people are saying came out of this meeting. But it, as you can say, it's Trump and Viktor Orban, two of them, a very unusual group in the world politics at the moment, very influential men, very powerful men. And the fact that they're in the same room together discussing issues such as Russia and China is a bit worrying. I must note that Viktor Orban's tie was bright orange, very much like Trump's hair, but that is beside the point. It is interesting to see how Viktor Orban went and met Trump, so kind of showing his alliance to Trump. And is he trying to just buddy up with the next presidential election of the US? I don't know, because if Trump doesn't win, then he's kind of screwed when it comes to being friends with Biden. So yeah, that was a very interesting meeting, something I don't think any of us expected. But yes, so in other news on the EU, because I'm flying through today because I'm nearly out of time, guys, I'm sorry. EU, the EPP, so the European People's Party, have released their manifesto this week, and they have named Ursula von der Leyen as their candidate for her second term. So it is her second term. So she'll be, as she is leader of the party. They are a center right party, and I read through their manifesto very briefly, a quick skim, and they are focusing mostly on defense, economy, and climate, but not in the way we'd hope. They are hoping to give cuts to farmers, and they, as you'd believe, it's a centre-right party, so they are interested in centre-right things. So, yes, I'm sorry for rambling. We are the party of the people, and we deliver on what people care about, said von der Leyen, as she sought the European People's Party support at the Congress in prosperity, security, democracy is what people care about in these difficult times. So that is what the manifesto is mainly incorporating. Prosperity, security, and democracy. Security is an interesting take because von der Leyen has been very much interested in security, especially with issues such as a European army coming into play with Trump's huge disagreement and saying he's going to pull out NATO. The idea of a European army will only grow. The European People's Party is also very much focused on migration, especially third party migration. And such deals have been very interesting to read, though not all the information is out on them yet. But the European People's Party is quite a powerful party in the European Parliament. Fun factor is political parties in the European Parliament, and they're not like the ones you have in most of the member states. So you know how we have Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Sinn Féin. In the European Parliament, they have their own ones that are just central to European Parliament. So they have the EPP and a few others. So if a person is from Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael, they don't represent Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael when they go to the European Parliament. They represent their party. So Leo Varadkar is EPP. And so when he goes to the European Parliament, he represents EPP, not the political party he has when he's in Ireland. So that's just a side note, because I know people don't know. I know that's not a fact, a lot of people know. So it's interesting because von der Leyen is currently the president of the commission, I think. But it is interesting to see how these next few months are going to play out due to the election in June. So with that and all my rambling, I am going to play a song, if it will work. So hopefully it will work. Let's see, one sec. And that was Tiny Things by Tiny Habits, my apologies. A really good song and a really good band if anyone is looking for a new one, because I only found them recently and they're actually really good. If people want an episode where I don't talk about politics for the full hour, please let me know, because I really have other interests, surprisingly, which many people wouldn't think. Okay, so I'm sorry about the quick show today, but due to tech issues and stuff. But look, next week I'll give you a big lowdown on something interesting, hopefully. It is International Women's Day for all those who don't know, though I've mentioned it like 8 times, and it is Referendum Day. So I want to talk about a little bit about International Women's Day. International Women's Day is on the 8th of March each year, and is quite an important day for many people. But I was, as I was doing my research for the show today, I realized that the UN, so United Nations, come out with a team or a call for the world each International Women's Day. So this year's theme is Invest in Women, Accelerate Progress. And the UN have said, as the best way to accelerate economic growth and rebuild more prosperity and equitable societies. It is really interesting, so I'd recommend anyone to just have a quick scan through. It will take you like a minute to read. It's just an interesting piece by the UN. I have gone through the last few years, and they do focus a lot on different issues faced by women and people. And it's really interesting to see the numbers they break down. So I'm just going to read you a few notes from the piece by the UN. So this is particularly urgent when war and crises are eroding the achievements of decades of investment in gender equality. From the Middle East to Haiti, Sudan, Myanmar, Ukraine, Afghanistan, and everywhere else, women pay the biggest price for conflict that are not of their making. The need for peace has never become more urgent. That is a really good point. In most studies and most things, most research, it is noted that women face the most difficulties when it comes to conflict, as they are usually not the ones on the front line, but usually the ones either having to flee or the ones left behind. So more of the piece is climate change is accelerating the persistence of poverty gaps as competition for scarce resources intensifies. Livelihoods are threatened, societies become more polarized, and women bear an increasing heavy burden. So here's some really interesting stats by the UN on women this International Women's Day, following the terms of invest in women, accelerate progress. So one in every 10 women in the world live in extreme poverty. The number of women and girls living in conflict-affected areas doubled since 2017. Now more than 614 million women and girls live in conflict-affected areas. In conflict areas, women are 7.7 times more likely to live in extreme poverty. Climate change is set to leave 236 million more women and girls hungry by 2030, twice as many as men. At the prime working age, only 61% of women are in the labour force versus 90% of men. They're really interesting and quite shocking statistics the UN brought out, but it is really interesting to see how people react to them too. So I'm waiting to see some really angry articles, maybe from the far right, coming out this week on that. But I'd recommend anyone to have a quick look at this. It talks about how the UN Women, which is a group inside the UN, are dealing with these and have what they've pledged towards certain programs. So I'm just going, there's another few points here that like almost 300 million jobs could be created by 2035 through investment in care services such as provision for daycare and elderly care, and the closing gender employment gaps could boost gross domestic product by capita by 20% across most regions. It's really interesting that it's International Women's Day and that these are the points we're bringing out. We're not celebrating women, but we're actually discussing the issues faced by women, which is, I think, good and productive. But from that sad note, I'd like to just talk about a few famous political, non-political women who I have found in my research. I know I could spend all day and all week talking about famous women who have done such good things for the world. But just from my quick search, because I was running out of time when I was researching this morning, I just had a quick look at a few influential women across the world. So As we're in Ireland, and we have had two female presidents, Mary Robinson and Mary McAleese. Mary Robinson, to start with, took office as the first female president in Ireland, where she declared, "I was elected by the women of Ireland, who instead of rocking the cradle, rocked the system," which is a brilliant term, and that is a fabulous term. Mary Robinson is a passionate activist advocate for gender equality. She smashed glass ceilings as an independent politician to become the 7th president of Ireland. As an academic, legislator, barrister and former UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, she had worked tirelessly as a champion of women's equality in Ireland and global human rights. Today, she is the chair of the Elders, an independent group of global leaders working for peace, justice and human rights, and was founded by Nelson Mandela in 2007. So Mary Robinson, I've always thought, is a very cool person. Really cool. Doesn't stand for, has worked really tirelessly as our as the president. And I always think it's really, really cool fact that Ireland has had 2 female presidents compared to most states. Then Mary McAleese is an Irish activist, lawyer, academic, author and former politician who served as the 8th president. She was the president that came after Mary Robinson from 77 to 2012. She's a Fianna Fáil candidate and again a really, really cool, successful woman who did a lot as president of Ireland and is someone we should look at on International Women's Day. I have a few more women who I believe are quite influential. We have, like, I know most people have their own people they want to celebrate, but these are just a few I found. So we have Lady Mary Health, the original heroine of the skies. She is dubbed. She grew up becoming a talented athlete and the founding member of the Women's Amateur Athletics Association. In 1925, undertook her maiden solo flight to Prague to address the Olympic Congress and campaign for women's track and field events to be accepted into the Olympic program. She defied all odds, becoming the first woman to gain a commercial pilot's license and the first person ever to fly solo from South Africa to London on an epic 10,000 mile journey. Her incredible achievement paved the way for other women to take the skies. A woman I'd never heard of until this morning, but an incredibly successful woman in that. I'd recommend looking at the Irish Times. They have really good notes on influential women at the moment. Rosie Hackett, "To think a revolution could start in a biscuit factory," is the opening line to this piece. She started and took her job as a messenger at Jacob's Biscuit Factory in Dublin. Working conditions were terrible and Hackett became the founding member of the Irish Women's Working Union and helped galvanise more than 3,000 female co-workers to go on strike in what became the first ever Dublin lockout. She was 18 years old at the time. Workers received better conditions and increased pay as a result, but Hackett lost her job after joining the Irish Citizens Army and taking part in the 1916 Easter Rising. The IWWU set up a soup kitchen for strikers in Liberty Hall and Hackett worked tirelessly to provide basic food and moral support in 1970. She was awarded a gold medal in giving 60 years of her life to trade union movements in Ireland. That is an incredible person and someone I think that is usually forgotten in the history books. Dr. Noah Patent was another woman from County Mayo, and she was the first. She passed for apologies. I've just lost my notes. She is an aeronautical engineer and the award-winning STEM advocate, and on course to become Ireland's first astronaut. Patton is a motivational speaker and helped launch the CIBI Bold Girls campaign in hopes to inspire children of Ireland to dream big. So we might have a female astronaut. We might have an astronaut Ireland, and it might be a woman, which is incredible. So there are just a few people. I also found another person who I was extremely intrigued about once I read about them. So it's Dr. James Barry, who, in all the research I've done, was born Margaret Ann Buckley. Dr. Barry is incredible, and I'd recommend anyone to read up on him. He was, it's in the decades, 1700s, late 1700s, and Dr. Barry became a major skills surgeon in both the army and put themselves through medical school. I only briefly went through their case, but it is incredible. So if anyone's looking to do some really cool research on this International Women's Day, Dr. James Barry is an incredible person and has done a lot in science and in women's representation. So yeah, that brings me to the end of the show today, guys. I'm so sorry for a rush show, but look, we live and we learn. But I'd like to just remind everyone, today is the referendum day. So if you have not, go vote. And don't forget your ID when you go voting. And when you are voting, please don't just take your word. Don't vote for anything. Make an informed decision, because in this age of crazy misinformation and crazy overuse of social media, your informed decision is the best decision you can make. So I would recommend anyone just do a quick 10-minute Google search, look at some independent articles, look at both sides of the argument if you have to. But yep, thank you so much for listening today. Sorry about the messy show, and I'll be back next week with a bit more preparation, maybe. Let's see what we'll play there for the last song, as it is International Women's Day. Let's do American Teenager by Ethel Kane. So thank you so much, guys. I will see you next week, and yep, have a good weekend.